Indeed, Lord. We come to you, Father, and singing the way we are singing, Lord. And Lord, it's coming from our hearts, Father, that we really love you. We really love you, Lord. And we know who you are, Lord. You are your word that was spoken before the foundation of the world, Lord God, and came here on earth, Father, and became a man, Lord. You are that, Father. And Father, now as we go to the other part of the service, Lord, we don't know, Father, what you have in store for us. But we know that you don't gather your people for nothing. And that, Lord, you can speak to us this morning, Lord. We want to commit our hearts to the one that we love most in our hearts, Father. That we may speak to them, Lord. Come down, Father. And we declare that we don't know. We declare to you, Lord God, that we are nothing. But you are all in all, Lord God, in us. Take up now this pulpit. Take up the service now, Lord. Speak to your children. Bless them, Lord. If there be a feeble person in our midst, Lord, a feeble heart, Lord, strengthen it. Doesn't need hearing, Lord. Whatever it needs, Father, strengthen it. Give it that, Lord, that which it needs. If it's money, Father, if it's a job or anything, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, maybe a need of a brother or a sister, that it is a burden in their heart, Father, pray for them. Whatever it is, Lord, grant it. And Lord, at the end of it all, may your name be glorified and exalted, Lord God, above any other name, Lord God, here on earth. Thank you for everything, Lord. Now come and take over the service now, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Now you can get seated. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Senior. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, I've been forgetting greetings. Some people in Dika Church greeted you this morning. So, I don't want them to ask, did you greet them? And then I say, I didn't. They greeted you, some people in Dika. There's a brother called Joseph. He gave his greetings to you. I hope you receive them. Now, I'm coming here. I don't want it to be wrong. I don't want this to be very wrong. So I've marked some places that I must not leave. I marked it in red. And the headings are on red. I hope, I think I sent it. Did I send it? I said it? Did you send it to the people? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, sis. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You're doing a good job. I didn't have time to, I usually, when I make my quotes, I usually come there. I like sending them at the last minute so that I can do the adjustment and things like that. And go back and read it through again, and I'm never ready. When I come here, I'm never ready. My wife was telling me last night to go to sleep, and I think I'm feeling unready. And she asked me, are you ever ready? And I said, I don't know, I'm just not ready. But I said, why don't you just go to sleep? And like that, but I can't sleep. I can't sleep until I feel like I put it somewhere. And even when I go to sleep, it's still there. Your mind is still there, going. And it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. And you don't know what to put in the quotes and what not to put in the quotes. But I'm still going on with the idea. I'm not a man. I'm not somebody who really goes in series like that. I've seen Brother Don go to part 2, part 3, part 4, and then the parts. I wasn't Brother Keenan going to part 50-something. I wasn't seeing Brother Keenan going to part something. And that's great, because they are following a certain thought. But I'm just a hit and run something. I hit and go. That's my kind of the way I preach. And that's why I don't make a very good preacher. I want us to go back there. My idea here, if you look at this, my idea is still the three sounds of Thessalonians. I feel like The three sounds are not on this other side. Very many people feel like they are on this other side. After Jesus comes, this other side after Jesus comes. Very many people feel like that. I want to put a demarcation, and maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, look at it very well, read the quotes, read other quotes, because there are very many quotes talking about that. And here we don't have somebody who has we don't have the word of infallibility, such that in the message, and find what is called the word of infallibility. The word of infallibility. There's no man who has the word of infallibility except William Marion Branham. No other man. Nobody has it. In this age that we are living in. The word of infallibility is by William Marion Branham. Whatever he says, we take it without even taking from the Bible, because he was the interpreter of the Bible. That's why we go back to him to see what did the Bible mean here? What did the Bible mean here? What did the Bible mean here? Only him. And if we have any question about anything, like now I was preaching last night to the people, this morning, to the people in Kenya. And I was telling them when we came to the, I read some scripture here in Revelation 10. Revelation 10. When you come down there, you find that angel that came down from heaven, the prophet says, is Christ, and it's only Christ it can be. And he stepped on the water, his one foot on the water and one foot on the earth. I told him, I've searched that in the scriptures. I don't know what that is. I can have my own idea, and that's good. You can have yours. And my idea is as good as yours, or maybe worse than yours. You may have a better idea. That's why don't go by my idea. I don't go by yours. Let's not go by anybody's idea. Let's go take one idea, and that's the prophet's idea. Amen. He was a spokesman for God. He was a mouthpiece of God. Amen. In this age. And we don't have any other. It's closed. From there, the Son of Man came. Yeah. The Son of Man came and indwelt in every one of us. In every one of us. We are a many bad group, a many bad bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God came and indwelt in. Just like he came and indwelt Brother Branham. Amen. Praise be to God. And that's why we don't have one man now. You know, I don't know how. We had this guy, and I think he died. I don't know him, but he was a great guy. And he said, you remember, I don't know why I'm saying like that, but you remember the prophet went to Sabino Canyon, and I'm going to bring that a bit. I'm going to maybe touch on that a bit. You remember the prophet went to Sabino Canyon? He was told by God one morning to go to Sabino Canyon. And in Sabino Canyon, he was given a sword. A sword came and came on his head. You remember that? Now, this brother came up and said that God came, just like he came to Brother Branham, and gave him something that he called a male and a female. It's something that you can put in your heart like that and pray Gita. And when you pray Gita, and I'm telling you, I've listened to that. I've listened to him. It's not a joke. I'm a senior. You're a good prayer. So that guy, Gita, the Gita, you listen to it, it's like saying words. I mean, it's so, I don't know whether it's the Gita that he's praying or what, but he has it. And he was told by God that he has been given like Brother Branham was given the sword he was sent to make the bride come in line, to put the bride on line. You remember the prophet said that one time he saw a vision, and I went there where he saw the vision of all the bride of all nations. I've gone there in that area. I've gone that. And of course, it doesn't feel nothing. It's just a shopping center like any other. But I took some pictures there where he went and saw the vision of the brides of every, because the bride comes from every nation. The bride of America, the bride of the, and he saw the bride of America, and it was not good. And he was told to tell the bride to get back in line. See that now? Now this brother, I will call him my brother because he says he's a believer of this message. Now he says that he was given that music is a gift of music to put, you know them, you know those group, Sister Esther. You know them. Some of them are our French brothers and the sisters. Some of them who are members of that. And he was sent to put that group, to that the bride online. And he has authority of them. He can tell them, don't go to church from here henceforth for a whole year. Like now, the whole of last year, the whole of last year, they've not been going to church. I don't know whether they're going now. They were stopped. Don't go until somebody says. And they talk like that. But those people say they are the eighth messenger. They were left by Brother Branham. They were left by Brother Branham. When Brother Branham went, he left somebody. And they claim, and you fight them, they can show you a quote where the prophet mentioned them or something. And now they are the eighth messenger. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, that's wrong doctrine. We don't have an eighth messenger. We don't have. Please, just mark that. Don't be deceived on those things. There's no eighth messenger. There's no eighth messenger. We have ministers. We have ministers of this gospel. Different gifts. And that's okay. And we respect it. Whatever gift you have, we respect it. And no gift is like the other. You can have a pastor that, and I'm not talking about that. But you can have a pastor, and they are completely different in makeup and the way they come. They are both pastors. They have a gift of a pastor. You can get a missionary and a missionary. A missionary that is like this and a missionary because God is God of variety. Respect that. We respect that very much. But we don't, listen, we don't have a named messenger. We have only one voice. We have only one voice. The word, who has the word of infallibility. It cannot be wrong. Whatever he says, I don't care whether I understand it or I don't understand it. I've come to a place where I got to take it. Because I've realized that God uses him. Not only that, God did something to me. God did something to me. God vindicated. God showed to the world, this is my man. This is him. This is him. Listen to him. Amen. That's why I don't question. I look like a fool. I've followed him like a fool. Yes. If you want to call me names, Branhamite, or whatever you're going to call me, that's all right. That's okay. I follow him like a fool. Because and before I did that, I searched. I'm not a fool. I researched. I looked at it and said, this cannot be man. This cannot be man. This is God doing it. God has shown it to the world that this is man, the man that I'm using. No any other. I don't care how high your gift can be. Amen. I can have a very high gift. That's all right. And some people have gifts like one in Germany. They are all my friends. That one, I didn't meet him. I didn't talk to him very much because you cannot talk to that one, the one that had the guitar. But there's one in Germany. He's my friend. I think he passed on the past about 3 months. God talked to him. One time he was, and that's true. You don't deny that. One time he was told, son, don't get into that flight. Don't get in that flight. And he took his bags and come out. And then the plane went and crashed. I mean, can you deny that? You can't deny that. God spoke to him. God told me. God called me from heaven. Son, that's good. Very good. That's good. I agree with that. And may God bless you, brother. That time he even gave me 3,000 shillings. 3,000 Kenyan. When I went to greet him, he's a big man. He's a big man with him. And he's a great guy. But when you talk to him, he knows this Bible like at the back of you. Talk about any scripture, he's going to tell you where it's at. I'm not going to mention his name. He's going to tell you where it's at and what is exactly the meaning of it. He has studied the Bible and Quran. So even the Muslims he messes them so much. I mean, when they go to discuss, he just crushes them. He knows the Quran. He knows the Bible very well. And is a very good message believer. And he visited the prophet. But he told me, rather he said, he didn't tell me, but he was saying when preaching that he went to Brother Branham's meetings. Because of his study of the Bible, he came out and he thought that he has seen the Jesus that he had seen in the Bible. He thought he had seen him. Because of the things that Brother Branham was doing. You know, that person, when he tells you, and he has a following. And every one of them has a following. But let me tell you, whatever it is, there were some other people in other ages. There are other people that were in other ages. And the prophet says, and Brother Kieran told me that the other day. He told me, the only problem with you, Brother Stanley, is, you're not militant enough. He told me that. Because, you remember, I think Polycarp, the prophet says that Polycarp should have been the messenger of the age. According to the way you look at Polycarp and things that he did, I think Polycarp should have been the messenger of the age according to the things that he did. But he says he was not militant enough. So, however, God did not choose him. Whatever reason, that can be militant enough or not. Whatever reason, God did not choose him. God did not pick him to be the messenger of that age, period. God did not pick me. God did not pick anybody else. He picked a man who did not even want, called William Marion Branham. William Marion Branham was the messenger of the age, period. No, any other man. When it comes to that, he says, let every man's word be a lie, but mine. Mine comes from Brother Branham. Let every other man who calls himself a messenger of the age be a liar. But that man called William Marion Branham, and you know he didn't even want to call himself a messenger or anything. So those things, so like that. So in this, I say this because sometimes we want to rely on people, rely on Gomba. Don't. And I know you can rely on your pastor, and that's good, Brother Don, and that's good, rely on him. But the prophet said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don is your pastor, Don is our pastor here. And we follow him, we respect him, and that's good. But at the same time, I know he agrees with me on this. I know he agrees on this. We have one word of infallibility, not me, not Don, not anybody else, not any pastor, not any preacher, not anybody else. One word of infallibility comes from Brother Branham. So when you study this, study what the prophet is saying. Study what the prophet is saying. My idea is the three things happened before he came here. That's my point. A shout, a voice, and a trumpet. They happened before he came here. He has said as much, you know, and the first quote there says exactly like that. Three things happens. A voice, a shout. A voice, a trumpet. Has to happen, and I read it the other day, but I decided just to bring it here. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, because maybe I would like to finish it as soon as possible. Happened before Jesus appears. Now, a shout. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. That statement tells you they don't happen when he's here. It happened before he reached here. You can go to Revelation 10. One there, and he's going to tell you how he came down. He came down with a book open. After the seal. And the prophet is going to tell you, he came after the seal. Listen. He came after the seals were open. Before the seals were open, he had not come. When he's descending from heaven, when he's making squeals, when he's healing and calling that Thadipu, remember, the seals were not revealed. He had not reached here yet. He was in heaven descending. And all this happens as he's descending from heaven. A shout, a voice, and a trumpet. And he said, what is a voice? He said, it's in the tapes now. It's in the tapes now. What is it? It's Revelation 10:7. What was Revelation 10:7? It was the revelation of the Bible. The Bible. I hope you get that. I hope you get that. Now, let's get there. What is the... Let's read it and show me. Let's read that before... if we don't finish this, that's all right. But let's read that. Let's read Revelation 10. Let's read Revelation 10 just a bit. Let's read Revelation 10. I don't have it here in my quotes. But maybe I don't know whether you have something. But let's follow. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. That's Jesus. The prophet said, that is Jesus. That is Christ. And Christ only can be. I saw another mighty angel come from heaven. That's Christ, and it's only Christ it can be. So he comes down, you read that, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow. You remember rainbow? What is a rainbow? This is the coming of the Lord. This is the coming of the Lord. That's why I'm saying this coming of the Lord and the Thessalonians is the same. It's the coming of the Lord. It's the second coming of the Lord. Revelation, are you Revelation 10? Yeah. That's the coming of the Lord. It's the coming of the Lord. And he'll come down. That's the revelation, the Thessalonians. He'll come down with a shout and a voice. When he's coming down now, when he's coming down, he does the three things. But here now he's on earth. Here he has already reached. He has a book open. You know that he had a book open. But that book in Revelation 5, it was not open. Because the seals were not revealed. He had not yet reached. I hope you can get that. He had not yet reached. But here he has now reached. Now before this is now shout, a voice, and a trumpet. Before this, before Revelation 10. What was before Revelation 10? Is Revelation 10, 7. Let's go down to Revelation 10, 7. Let's go down to Revelation 10, 7. I'm not teaching. I'm not a teacher. But I'm not just a preacher. Revelation 10, 7. Just down there. He says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Now listen. The days of the seventh, of the voice of the seventh angel. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. That is Brother Branham. And remember this. When this mighty angel is coming down, the prophet says, William Marion Bonham must be here on earth. When Revelation 10 is happening, that mighty angel coming from heaven, William Marion Bonham must be here on earth. He calls him the seventh angel. And we know, every one of us knows, that the seventh angel is William Marion Bonham. So Revelation 7 happened, Revelation 10, when it's happening, when that mighty angel is coming down, Brother Branham must be here on earth. Now listen, Revelation 10. Listen, Revelation 10, 1, 7. Revelation 10, 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that is William Marion Branham's time. That is Branham's time. Branham's age. The seventh age. During that age, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Which mystery are we talking about? He's going to tell you the next sentence. The next sentence, he says exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. Let's read it. It should be finished. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. As he had declared, listen, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. He asks, who are these prophets? The prophet says, they are somewhere. The prophet says, those are the prophets who wrote the Bible. So as he has declared to them, and they wrote the Bible, the seventh angel messenger is going to come and reveal it, and reveal that Bible. But that Bible, remember, it was sealed with seven seals. Remember, it was sealed with the seven seals. Now let's look at it a bit deeper, just a minute, because it's coming to my head. Let me just bring it. But when was it sealed? When was this book sealed? I've said it several times here on this pulpit. When was this book sealed? The people say it was sealed before the foundation of the world. That's what the prophet says. Everything here was done. You are seated here. Listen, you are seated here, Mendocino, before the foundation of the world. That's right. You are here in this church before the foundation of the world. So to tell me that it was sealed is not answering me. You are not answering my question. I'm asking you, when was it sealed? When you tell me it's before the foundation of the world, giving, you know, we read the quotes. We should not just read the quotes. We should read the quotes by revelation. Quotes are good and you can just say what they're saying. But you must also have the revelation. And the revelation comes by not only one quote. It gives another here. And when you read all these quotes, it gives you what it is. When was this book sealed? The first thing you ask yourself, what's the book? What is this book that is sealed in seven seals? What's the book? The prophet is telling you, it is simply Jesus Christ. This book sealed in seven seals is the book of redemption. It's Jesus Christ. It tells you like that. The prophet is going to say that. Very many quotes like that. When was Jesus sealed? He was sealed in the Garden of Eden. Amma. When was Jesus sealed? He was sealed. What is sealing? By the way, we just talk about sealing and we don't even understand what sealing is. What was sealing? It was sealed such that, because for you to know what is inside, it's got to be open. So it's kind of covering it. Oh, I don't know what other words to use, but now we understand. Is it right? It is sealed such that you cannot read it. You cannot see what is inside. You cannot even look at it. You don't know what is it. It's completely sealed. And until it's unsealed, until the seals are taken off and opened, you never be able to read it. You never be able to know nothing from what it is. What is it? What's that book? That book is Jesus Christ. When was Jesus Christ sealed? Now remember, in the Garden of Eden, he was called the Tree of Life. Is that right? Was Jesus called the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden? What was the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden? The prophet says, it was Jesus Christ. When sin came, Jesus Christ was sealed. He was covered. Cherubims were put there. Nobody can get there. Nobody can touch it. The prophet says, Adam, after the sin, Adam wanted to come and worship. And he came to the east of that garden, even Cain and Abel. They come with their sacrifices from the east, but they could not get in. Why? There was a sword of fire. There was a sword of fire going around it and cherubims around it, around this court, Jesus Christ, completely sealed. I think you can see that. But now listen. At the end, not any other time, during William Marion's branch sometimes, during Revelation 10:7, he comes. Praise be to God. He comes. And the first thing we hear, the Revelation of the seas, is the cherubims that God put around Jesus Christ, around that word in the Garden of Eden. We see him coming, the first cherubim. I think was it a lion? Was it a lion? Which come and see, and he opens for you to come and see. Then the next one is the calf. Is it a calf or a cow or something like that? He says, come and see. He opens. The cherubims that God put, they're all cherubims. Those are all cherubims. The cherubims that God put there, now they are telling you, they were covering it. Nobody can come. Adam could not come until that Jesus Christ, that God had become flesh and died on the cross. Before that, you cannot come. And after he died and became flesh, and the blood was shed, it took 2,000 years. And he says, he was doing what? He was redeeming. Oh, I don't know what the words that are used. You know, I've not read them recently. But he stayed there to mediate. He stayed there for 2,000 years to mediate for the bride. For 2,000 years, he stayed there to mediate. Until at the end, after mediation is over, after all has come, you think they have not come? Listen, all has come, and God has put a demarcation, a line between the bride and the world. When that is put, when the church ages were over, he put a demarcation there. He took his bride. It's only the bride who is told, come and see, and they come and look. And they see the revelation nobody else can be revealed to. You cannot get, if you are not the bride, you cannot get it. You can talk about this message to the whole world. They are completely separated from God. Their ears are completely blind. They cannot hear this. It was not for them. But now the sword, listen, but now the sword has been sheathed. He took the sword that was going around and sheathed it and put it in a sheath. What is a sheath? You know what a sheath? Does anybody who don't know what a sheath is? You don't? A sheath is, you see, okay, I'm giving, do you know Maasai? You see, they have a sword, is that right? Do you see the pocket that they put he puts that sword? That's a sheath. That's a sheath. You understand now? That's a sheath. So he took that sword that was actually like a fire going around Jesus Christ. Nobody can eat him. Nobody can hit him. Going around there. And cherubim there. He took that. When? Praise be to God. In the seventh age, during Brother Brown's time, he took that sword and sheathed it. Now you people can come. And the last cherubim that was calling people was the eagle. Come and see. And during eagle's time, everything is now open because that is the last, that cherubim covering it. Come, when the eagle talks, come and see, is completely open now. And that was the unsealing of the book. That was the opening of the book of redemption. I know you like reading, and that's good. I like people reading quotes, and that's good. That's good. But you bear with me sometimes. Sometimes I just go on like this. So now... This book, now Revelation 10, Revelation 7, I was not talking about the Revelation, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. Now, by saying that, we realize that was the Bible, because the Bible was written by the prophets. Now, that which was sealed there, now can be opened. And the prophet opened it. Now, what opened? Now, let me ask you a question. What opened the Bible? And I'm putting it very clear here. This is before he comes. And I'm going to really quote like going to say like that. Because that's my point. That's my main point, actually. What opened the book of redemption? And by the way, what is the book of redemption? It's Jesus Christ. It's the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. The word was with God, and the word was God. Like that. The Bible is God. Not these papers. The word of God is God. The word of God is Jesus Christ. The book of redemption is Jesus Christ. Now, so he was to open that book of redemption. Now, what opened? And I'm going to read the quotes, you're going to see that. But let me say it before I do that. The six seals opened the Bible. The six seals opened the Bible. Not seven. Six seals opened the Bible. The seventh brought him. Brought the Bible. Brought him. Him who? Jesus Christ. He brought him here on earth. The seventh is Revelation 10. The seventh seal is Revelation 10. It's the coming of the Lord. You see, that's about five times. I've seen it at least about five times after 65. I think before 1965, I think he had said something. Not before 1963. But after 1963, I think I've seen him saying that. The seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. Is the coming of the Lord. Revelation 10 is the coming of the Lord. So the Bible was opened. Listen, the Bible was opened. Then he came. I know this sounds like, why are you even interested to bring that? That's a very simple thing. I mean, that's not necessary. That's not important. Brothers and sisters, everything that can confuse you, the devil will take it and he will take you away. And by the time you reach over there, you'll be very far away from the truth somehow. God can take you, the devil can take you and make you miss the mark because of something. People take this and take doctrines and they make denominations out of it. That's why everything is very important to live. The Bible said, all right, my mind is not together this morning. I think I'm very sleepy. I think my mind is not together this morning. Because I'm remembering something and I cannot say it. I cannot say it. But the Bible talked about putting everything where it belongs, balancing, putting it, the word of truth, like putting it where it belongs. And it's very important. That thing is very important. So let's go to my quotes now. You know where I'm coming from. I'm trying to say and people are going to talk about it. And I've heard people talk about it. I'm not against anybody, but I've never heard even the prophet when he talks. If you don't look at the quotes right, different quotes right, you feel like the shout, the voice, and the trumpet, like they are on this other side when he came. But maybe I've not seen some quotes. You can give me. They are over here before he came, before Revelation 10. They are before Revelation 10. They came before he appears. Before he comes, he appears in Revelation. Revelation 10 is his coming. Okay, now, let's go to my quotes. I don't know how much time we have, but I'm going to jump. Now, my heading there, after the book called Rapture there, you find that, I just read the red things there, and there's a lot of things here that you can read. But we read that the other day, so I feel like I don't want to come with that again. Now, my heading there is, six seals are revealed, then he comes. Six seals are revealed, then he comes. The shout, the voice, and the trumpet are here. Are here before he comes. Are here in the six seals. Now, listen. Now, you see, I'm just not making that up. That's what it thus says, the prophet says, it is thus says the Lord. That's paragraph 40. It is thus says the Lord. I'll read it to you out of the book. The sounding of the seven angels' message, the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery should be finished. Okay, that's where we read Revelation 10, 7. Should be finished. That's been declared by the holy prophets. That's the Bible. The prophet says that's the Bible. That's the prophet who has wrote the word. He has said it's that. At the sounding of the seven churches, the last churches, all the ruses that through these churches has been probed at will be wooed up together. Now he goes down here, paragraph 41. And when the seals are broke, now listen to this. And when the seals are broke, and the mysteries revealed, when the seals are broke, and the mysteries revealed, down comes the angel. You see now? Can you get that? Can you get that point right there? Can you get that point right there? When the seals are revealed, he will not come until the seals are revealed. The seals has got to be revealed, and then Revelation 10. And then he comes. The seals are revealed, then he comes. Because he's coming, if we had time, we could read that. He comes with a book, with a little book open. In Revelation 10, he comes with a little book open. So it has already been opened. After it's opened, now he comes. These are six seals, then the seventh seal comes. The seventh seal is Revelation 10, is his coming. And I'm going to read that also. Okay. Christ setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea, with a rainbow over his head. When the seals are broken, then Revelation 10. Now remember, this seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming. At the time of the coming of Jesus Christ, of Revelation 10, the prophet is here on earth. Okay. Just as John, he says, just as John was giving his message. What are the seals then? What are the six seals? They were like John giving out his message, telling you, be ready, trim your lamp. In fact, we read that quote the other time. That he was telling them, trim your lamp. That was telling them, come out of your denomination. Come out of your denomination. And Christ is coming, get into Christ. Get ready because he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to get his bride. Now, okay, just as John was giving his message, the same time as Messiah came in his days, John knew he would see him because he was going to introduce him. And we realize that in the scriptures over in Malachi 4, there's to be a one like John, an Elijah, to whom the word of God come to. And is to reveal by the Holy Spirit all the mysteries of God and restore the faith of the children back to their fathers, apostolic fathers. Restore back all the mysteries that has been probed at through these denominational years. Now, that's what the word said. I'm just responsible for what it said. See, it's written, it's right. That's what it is. Don't mix up there and here. It's completely. And the prophet says, this, can I say something, brothers? Just 1 minute. Can I say something? Why I say this? I've really tired. I'm sorry. Because it's not here. It's different places I've gone in the world. Different places in Kenya, especially Africa. People don't realize there's a particular reason, a particular message, not mixed with nothing, a particular message for the bride after the church ages are over. It's not, you can be anywhere. You cannot be here and here. You cannot be before the church ages and you be after the church ages. He says, this is a particular message that I've given myself to. I've given myself all of that. I've given to this message. The message of the hour is after the seals are over. I mean, after the church ages are over. What is it? Jesus has come. The seventh seal. The seventh seal is that message. It's his coming of that. He has come. Jesus has come. That's a message. Jesus Christ has come. We cannot be over there. We are here. The message is Jesus Christ is here. He's come. He's gotten his bride. It's a bridal message. It's a bride message. The bride is seating him. He's not eating the Pentecost. And why it's confusing? Because the prophet was there. The prophet revealed the Bible. Yes, he revealed the Bible. That was okay. That was what was happening. Like what happened before. What happened in the Dark Ages. What happened until. But now this is different. This is different. We have to, let me say this. Did you see that? We read that, and there was an angel come from heaven, and a rainbow was over his head. Did you see that? By the way, what is a rainbow? What's a rainbow in the Bible? A rainbow in the Bible is a covenant. It's a sign of a covenant. We had a covenant, the old covenant. The old testament is a covenant. You people are English people. I don't know why I'm talking like that. Like you people are don't know.
Testament is a covenant. It's a covenant they had with the Old Testament people. And it was only one church. It's called the Israel, Jews. He had a covenant with Jews. That was the old church. Now from there, he had another covenant with the church ages. The Second Testament. It's called New Testament. It's the Old Testament and New Testament. Now, when that was completed, when the Old Testament was completed, the New Testament came. The New Covenant came. And they had, God had a covenant with the bride, making up the bride, or mediating for the bride. And all that for 2,000 years, he's mediating. That was the covenant. After it's over, after the church is over, after it's over, another covenant, because that is over. This is another covenant. It's a covenant between the bride and the bridegroom. And this is the covenant. Listen, this is the covenant. It's a judgment covenant. It's done. I'm done with the world. This is my time to take what I died for. I died for the bride. Now I take the bride. The bride is mine. Me and her become one. We are married. We are one now. It's over. How about the world? The world is, there's no mercy in the world. After those seals were opened, no mercy in the world. No mercy. It's done. That's why he was a lamb there. Here is a lion. He's a judge. He's judgment. Is that serious? There's no the salvation today, and I'm going to read it. Maybe give you time. I'm going to read it here. The salvation today, listen, no other way. There's no repentance. I'm repenting. God has forgive me all my sins. And now because he has forgiven all my sins, I baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized as much as you want. You can pray as much as you want for God to give you, and he forgive you. But until he marries you, you're not saved. The salvation today is a marriage. There's only one person who can get married. That's the wife of that man. It's only the bride who can get married to Jesus Christ. That's the salvation today. Okay. I don't know why I'm coming like that. I didn't intend to come like that, but it's coming like that. It's all right. Now, the other one is just a small quote there. I thought I didn't want to put so much. And I wish I put it, and I just left it there and not read it. The sixth seal finishes the mystery. Now listen, I was telling you, the six seals open the Bible. It's on the other side. The six seals are on the other side. After that, here is the line. Here is the line. Put this line there. In your mind, put this line here. The line is the seventh seal. The seventh seal. And I know, listen, and I know you hear a lot of things like here and here, like prophet, because in every age, the prophet says, what is that? What do we call that? Can you give me a word for this? This is the age, and this is the other age is coming, kind of bypassing. Overlaps, exactly. It overlaps, that's the right word. It overlaps. When Ruth had a message, and he died, or it went out. Before it went out, Wesley came. and Ruth went on as Wesley is here. They overlaps. So is even our message. That message overlaps. That's why you hear the prophet. Even if people ask me, why did then the prophet baptize? Because it was an overlap. He was teaching people that were from, yes. Brother Branham was a messenger. Listen, the Brother Branham was the messenger of the seventh church age. The people who he was teaching this message were people who could not even understand. Brother Holmes, Brother Jones, another brother from Florida, another brother from that brother from Germany. They told me they could not understand the way now they are understanding. He was telling them those things that they were not even understand the way now they understand. Why? That was a message. That was a message for us. But he was still a messenger. You think those people who are there who didn't even see the revelation of the revelation of the Zardas, this revelation that we have, you think they went to hell like Brother Bosworth? He didn't see the Zardas. He didn't. He was not here when I think he saw the seal. He had the prophet open the seal, but I think he was not here. He could not even get. It was just a great thing happening. Just like other great things have happened with Brother Branham. I don't think he was here. I think he died before this was happened. But that's what I'm saying. They were seeing the great things happening. But they could not exactly grasp what was happening. Listen what happens. And I hope I'm not going to take much of your time. But listen what happens. In every age, In average, I think I've said that before, and the plan of it. I've taught something like the plan of it. This is what happens in heaven. A seal opens from heaven. A seal. That's a mystery opens from heaven. For every church age, let's say Ruthers age. A seal opened from heaven. When that seal opened from heaven, it drops here on earth. It finds a messenger here on earth, like Wesley. So Wesley gets it and takes it out. When he takes it out, is a trumpet. That's a trumpet blowing. It's got a trumpet. It's a gospel trumpet. He's telling people what God has said. Now, it comes to a place, all the people who are going to believe it, they are taken, listen, they might be alive or dead, it doesn't matter. But they are sealed. What does a seal mean? It's a completed work. This is completed work. I've completed this. These people you see here are completed. They are mine. They cannot go to hell. They are mine. You see that? Another thing, they cannot go anywhere. They are destined to their destination. They are going to their destination. They are completed. They are going there. They are mine. They are sealed. When they die, they are taken there. They are taken in the sixth dimension and they stay there. And another age opens up. Now, there might be some people here on earth living when the other age, like Brother Abraham, comes on. There might be some people living. They are sealed in that other one. They cannot believe. They don't know. They can see. Oh, and they don't deny. But they're not. You start there. You preach. Oh, that's a good gospel. That's good. Because they don't deny. Their hearing is God, but it doesn't click. It doesn't do what it was supposed to do to the people of the age that they live in. Because they don't believe. That's why. Don't bother to argue. People cannot understand why the prophet continue prophesying. The prophet continues saying things like he's not come. The prophet continued. He still was. Until some point, he still was. The seventh angel messenger. And the whole of the message calls him the seventh angel messenger. Communion. Why did he continue with communion? Brothers, sisters. Yes. He was talking to them. They could not understand nothing. Those people didn't know nothing. And they could not, because they were not in this age. We are the age that the Bible says, those who shall be alive and remain. We are the people who shall be alive and remain. We are the people who are here when Jesus comes. All right, now, let's go now. I think I'm getting out of my, I don't know. So the sixth seal finishes the mystery. And the sixth seal, just before the seventh opened. So the sixth seal opens the mystery, opens the Bible. It's opened the Bible, just before the seventh. What is seventh? Let's get clear on this. What is the seventh? Seventh is his coming, is Jesus Christ coming. Now, let's go here. That's the Feast of the Trumpets. Compare scriptures now. That's paragraph 126 of the sixth seal. Compare scriptures of this great event that you see that is this great secret, a mystery that was under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. Now remember, these are hidden mysteries. And the six seals, now remember, not seven. Look at this, not seven. And the six seals all together is one great big book. Just six scrolls rolled together and it unwinds the whole book of redemption. That's right. Six seal unwinds. It opens up the book of redemption. It opens up the Bible. The book of redemption is the Bible. I think he has said that many times. Okay. That's how the whole earth was redeemed. Now he goes out. Those are my comments there. All that was happening, at the time of the second pool. All this, the opening of the. And I'm gonna bring the pools now here. All that was happening, the shout, the voice, all that, the opening of this book, Revelation 10:7, all that, that is all that's happening is during the second pool. How many pools do we have? Maybe you're not here on Tuesday, on Wednesday. How many pools do we have? How many pools? Huh? Three. Are you sure? Yes. I threw the three. What was the first pool? Healing. By the way, what's a pool? I said it again. Maybe Cameroon is here today. Cameroon was not here the other day. What's a pool? Let's talk about it. Just 1 minute. What's a pool? What's a pool? What does a pool do? Not the pool that people play, not that one. But a pool is pulling you. It's pulling you. God wants to pull you to come for one purpose, not to heal you. Although he's so massive, he heals you. That's okay, he's merciful. But the purpose of those miracles that you see is one thing. For you to come and look. There's somebody who doesn't have a leg. And you have seen him like that bright man. You know, maybe a man who doesn't have a leg. It was amputated. Now he's here and you know that. And then God brings a leg. There they are, and that leg is there. And he's standing there. And you know, it's so and so. You can't say, "Hiya, oh, this is a leg. He has a leg. He has a leg." When you come to see that man, you've been pulled. That's the first pull. When you come and you see what he says, then the next pull is he reads your heart. He reads your mind. You know, he doesn't know you. He tells you, you are so and so, you are so and so. Wow. You realize this cannot be nobody but God. The purpose of all those two pools is so that when you realize it's God, now you don't doubt when he tells you, "I've been Tucson and I was told the first seal means it's the devil." It's God. You realize it was God, isn't it right? You realize it was God. He proved to you that he was God. But when you came and saw the leg, that, oh, okay, okay. And when you saw the leg come to a man, then you look a bit and you see, he reads your mind. Then you realize this kind of, when you know now for sure this is God, now he speaks the word. The Radipu is the speaking of the word. It's God himself speaking. But he pulled you because he's a just God. He cannot bring you to judgment before he brings you a warning. He made sure that you knew he was God. Now, when you know that he's God, if he judge you that you refuse to hear him, you are sure yourself that you knew he was God talking and you refuse to hear him. All right, now let's come here. So those are the pools. Okay. So that's why I'm saying this. That's why you could see, and I'm going to leave some quotes on that also. Maybe if you have time, if you don't have time, no problem. But do you remember the prophet when he was doing this? Look here. If the prophet, if God was here with this coat, wearing this coat, and he turned around, and when he turns around, he starts here. He says, "You are so and so from so and so from so and so." Do you remember that? He says, "Isn't that the God that was at the tent of Abraham?" I'm asking you, which God was at the tent of Abraham? God in a man. God took dust and get into a body. A body of flesh that can eat. He took another dust and there was another body. Told Gabriel, get in there. And took another one and told the woman would get in there. And they both walked. Now when he's actually talking, saying what Sarah is thinking, is God in a man. So when he says, if God was here, what is he saying? It's the same God that was at the tent of Abraham. What was he? God in a man. That's Luke 17:30. That was God in a man, the second pool. But now look, I would like to ask you a question. If the second pool, what was second pool? The second pool was God in a man, is that right? Second pool was God in one man, is that right? All right. All right. Okay, I think they are discussing this. Then that's good. God bless you. So you see that? So that was God in one man, is right? God in one man. Like Nathaniel. You remember Nathaniel? He realized this is God in one man. And he followed him. You remember that Samaritan woman at the well? The woman at the well? He recognized this is a Messiah. Messiah was God in a man. And he followed him. Come and see. He recognized that. And therefore, from there, this was Jesus. That was the second pool. So all this, I'm saying, was happening in the second pool. And there were things that happened in the second pool, and God called them. Two things. Listen, he called them second pool. The prophet called them, I'm going to read those quotes here. Called them second pool. But at the same time, he said, that was the third pool. What was it? That's another confusion I'd like to clear. Why is he calling the second pool, people in the second pool, the third pool? Why? Because what was the third pool then? You're going to see what the third pool is. Third pool is God. Third pool is God. Okay? Now, second pool is God in one man. So actually, the second pool is that pool in man, in one man. Is that right? It's God in one man. God is God doing this. The third pool is God now. I'm going to read those quotes. I'm going to read this quote to show that third pool is God when he's poured on very many people now. But second pool is God in one man. That pool is when God is the same God that was in that man. Now he's poured. He's now in very many neighbored man. That's the third pool. When he comes, listen, when he comes in Revelation 10, he goes and takes the bride. How does he take the bride? By getting one with him, with her. They get one with her. He marries her. He marries her. They become one. They are one. They become one. That's the second coming of the Lord. So now the second pool is actually the third pool in one man. It's one God in one man. It's the same thing. It's God in one. It's God in a man. That's what I'm calling it. That's why the prophet is saying, The hearing of, do you remember how he made the seals? He got that is that pool. But the seals were not open. The third pool had not started working. He says like that. The third pool had not started working. But that was God create. Nobody can create except God. That was God in one man creating. He calls that the third pool. He says that was the third pool. Or a sign of the third pool or the third pool happening. But that was in the second pool. And I'm going to read quotes that are going to show that was in the second pool. Now, let's read this quote. Let's read this quote so that you can understand what I'm saying. Time, second pool. God revealing himself from heaven. It was the third pool in one man. God tabernacled in Brother Branham. That was in the church ages. Now, the prophet called the following the second pool. And at the same time, the third pool. What did he call in those, my purple? What did he call the third pool? What was he calling the second pool and at the same time calling it the third pool? Those were the five. The giving life of the fish, I think. I put that one and I then started thinking, was it the fish? I need to check that because I didn't even look. The second one was creation of schools. It might be the third or the fourth, but those are the five. The creation of the schools. The third was the healing of Hattie. You remember the healing of the Hattie? Healing of sister, not healing of the sister Hattie, but salvation of his, the children of sister Hattie. Number four was the storming of the stopping of the storm. You remember that? That was the fourth. Or the fifth. I've not put them in the sequence. The prophet in the book called Look Away to Jesus, he's going to put them very well. In the book called Look Away to Jesus, he's going to put them very well, one by one, the way the sequence followed. Okay. Creation of the squeeze. Number three, sister Hattie's salvation of his boys, stopping of the storm, and then the healing of Mendes' tumor. Those are the five. He calls them the five. And he says, that's the number of grace. He says, that was the third pool. That was the third pool. But he's going to call it the second pool. Let's read now. In the book called He That Is In You, preached 1963 at the end in November. He's going to say this. I'll just put that small. And Lord, we don't know. Now, listen. Listen why this is very serious. If you read... Listen very carefully. If you read, after the prophet opened the seals, sisters, brothers, he's going to stay with it, saying he don't know what this third pool is. Until I think December 1963, I think around 29th, when he preached that book called Look Away to Jesus, he says, now I know. And before that, he said, I think that book, he said, it's going to stay dormant. It will not be very active. You don't see it very much until the squeeze comes or something like that. In the book called Souls in Prison Now, he says, could it be? Could it be the third pool? He's asking a question, could it be? Could it be? Then the following book, he says, we don't know what it is. We are trying. The last one, he says, I looked. I waited until I was sure it's it. This is it. See that now? Now he says, and Lord, we don't know what this third pool is. That was the thing. We know what this third pool is. It's like he doesn't know until some time. Okay. But now it comes to a place where he says, we now know. In this book called Look Away to Jesus, he says, we now know. And he says, I was afraid of it. And I didn't know, I didn't exactly see what it was. Until it happened in my house. Now I started getting interested. How is it going to work?
And then he continues saying it's not. It's, then in Luke to Jesus, 1963, December 29th, he says, "Now I know, Lord. Now I know, Lord. I know even how you've been taking me through this to be sure and to make sure that I'll tell the people the truth." He talks like that. Okay. Then he comes and says, "And Lord, we don't know what that this Zadip is, as we have referred to it. Will be what it will be. I don't know what, but we know one thing, that the first pool was perfection." Now listen, the first pool was perfection. The second pool being the five, the grace. What are the fives? I've just told you the fives. The fives, the screws, those were the second pool. But now, just below there, and there are many pools like this. There are many pools like this. Now let's drop down to the next quote. The unveiling of God, 1964. And even before 1964, he's going to say the same thing, that there was the third pool. You see, he's calling them the second pool. Do you see the confusion now there? He calls it the second pool. Now here he calls it the third pool. See, he calls it the third pool and the second pool. Why? It was God. It was the same thing. It was the same God, the creator in William Marion Branham. Now it's the same this creator that has come in the third pool in the minimum body. It's the same thing that I hope you can see that. Go study this, and maybe you understand it better. You have to know these words and these things. Look at Hati, that's the unveiling of God. And this quote, don't think it's 1964 only, even before 1962, before 1964. Like in 1963, it was so much there. You have to know even in 1959, like 59, he said it a few times, because I think the screws happened in 1958. Look at Hattie, right, that time. When the Lady Poo, you see, when Hattie was, those children were being healed, that was the Lady Poo, But he called it up there, the second pool. Those are the things sometimes see, and I like bringing it so that people can see. You remember it? Of all the everything, that woman said the right thing. You've got to say the right thing, the right word now. My comment. Then Lady Poo came after the seals were revealed. Jesus was the third pool. He appeared in Revelation 10. Now, I put the Revelation 10 there, and I'm not going to read it. We've read it. We've just touched it. Let's go to paragraph 47. We'll jump that one. And here, he returns back. Now, he says, paragraph 47, in the breach. And here, he returns back in the 10th chapter. After the coming time that all the mysteries is to be finished. All the mysteries will be finished. That is what that was when he came, like he was revealing himself from heaven, and the seals are to be broke, and proclaiming that it's time no more. In Revelation 10, he comes and proclaims that time shall be no more. What does it mean? Time shall be no more. Church changes are over. Time shall be no more, because it's not this time. It's not the days, the calendar. No. And he said, when the seventh angel has begun to sound, then the mystery should be finished. And time for the angel to appear. Now that's interesting. So we got to finish the seals, is that right? We got to finish the seals. The opening of the seals is going to finish. I think I explained that there with another quote up there. The seals open. Those are the six seals that open. Then when they open, after they are open, then this angel, which angel? The angel of Revelation 10. Which is he? What is he? Christ only can be. The prophet says, it is Christ. It only can be Christ, nobody else. That angel coming from heaven with a crown, and that is Christ. Then it's time for the angel. After the seals are open, now the time for the angel to appear. When the seventh angel has begun to sound, then the mystery should be finished. And time for the angel to appear. We are somewhere right now. It says like that. Now, in this one, we are going to show, we now know where the second pool is. Now, I want to talk about the third pool just a bit, in the foreign quotes. The foreign quotes, I'm going to talk about the third pool so that you see. Because we might know the but we don't know exactly the we don't know exactly what the we might talk third pool, second pool like that, but we need to talk about the third pool. We say second pool and we say what it is. But we don't really get into understanding what the third pool is. So let me explain a bit what the third pool is with these quotes. I'm going to just read. Now, not knowing, of course,
Being spiritual, you watch spiritual things, not knowing that is that is 1963, August 28th. He's going to continue even after saying this. He's going to say, yeah, we don't. I don't know what the third way is, but he's going to make a demarcation, a line. He's going to put a line there, and these lines that are put, they're not for nothing. God puts them for something. God puts a line for something. A demarcation. A line says, no, it's up to here. He says, not knowing, of course, being spiritual, you watch spiritual things. Not knowing this, God knows it. But if you turn and look at the clock, it's on the dot, 2:00. I don't know what he was saying. Because if you look at the walk or the clock here, now I'm looking at the clock here. If I see it's 2:00, but this man is spiritual. This man is God. He's seeing things that I cannot see. So he says, it's 2:00 exactly on the dot. It's 2:00 on the dot. And he says, 2:00. He says, the head of the second pool. The head of the work of God in one man. That's the head of God working in one man called William Marion Branham. Who was William Marion Branham? William Branham was, you remember the sheep weaving? The sheep weaving, when you get your crops from the garden that grows faster than the others. You gather them together and bring them to the priest. And the priest shakes them upon the people. It's called the sheep weaving. What does it mean? The prophet says that it means that it will grow. Even the rest will grow just like us. William Marion Branham was the first adopted son of God that came to maturity. And he was waved upon us that we will become mature as he is. Like he had God tabernacled in him, so shall we be tabernacling God. Even after he's gone. He's gone, but we tabernacle God. God did not go back. God is still with his bride. He came in Thessalonians. He came in Revelation 10 and took his bride. His bride is with him now. But this is the head. This is the head of the second pool. This is the head of that. Does it mean you cannot discern? Does it mean he was not discerning even after that? He continued discerning. He continued healing. That's okay. God is here. Wherever God is, there is healing. He says there's no more mercy. After he opened the book, there's no more mercy. But God had mercy on you. Where are you? In the scene here. You could have gone to the world like you there. There are other girls that you are with. Where are they? Look at that. You praise God for we praise God when we see ourselves here. It's not that God had mercy with us. But how does it say then there's no more mercy? Listen, there's no more mercy to the world. He finished the world. He bring all those pools to show them that God, I'm come. And you are told to prepare. Trim your arms. You are told to prepare. Get out of that who? Of that harlot. Come. He's coming. And get inside. But they refused. What can he do now? There's no more mercy. That was a lamb. I've become a lion. Now I'm in judgment. I've judged you wrong. Eternally separated from God. But here, I have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I have mercy on my bride. He loves his bride. He cannot do nothing but just love her. You say he's as bad as... It doesn't matter. That is his wife. He takes care of her. He takes care of things. You quarrel there. Sister Amanda, and you have a headache. We see Michael coming there, putting you behind there. Maybe some people are talking about you. You come, just get what? What? He's going to protect you. That's exactly what the God does. He comes and, no, these are mine. I don't care. You're saying they're wrong here. They're wrong here. Doesn't matter. I'll take care of that. My blood took care of that. My blood paid for that. They are the ones who have accepted me. I'm going to take them. They are mine. All right. So the third pool is over. No. The second pool is over. The third pool is at hand. See? Second pool has been made manifest. There are some words here that I've left singing. There he's singing. He's singing a song there, and it's a very good song. The prophet is singing. I didn't want to put it here because to make it short. But it's like that now. Now, let's look at what is this that has come to an end. We know what has come to an end is the second pool. That dispensation is over. Now is the third pool. What is the third pool? What was that for? I say, it was the coming of the Lord. These things are acquitted. Go read the book called The Mystery of God Revealed. And I would like to advise you. There was a brother in Kenya who was in the media, in one of the groups. And he refused that the seventh seal is revealed. He refused completely, and he's very learned because he's no more. And he refused completely. He said the seventh seal is not revealed. Jesus Christ has not come. So I said, now, are you saying that the seventh seal is not revealed? He read me the book in the seventh seal book. It's not revealed. He says, and it's not be revealed. It's not going to be revealed. Why? He says there, it is not a public. It's not for the public. It's never been known by the public. The devil shall never know it. You don't know what that is. That means it's only God who can reveal it. Because God hides it in you. God hides it in you. The Zadipu is in you. Who is Zadipu? It's Christ. He's in you. And if we tell the people he's coming, he's in me. Where? I know men. Men are seeing, I know you. You're just that girl that I've been seeing around here. You're that girl. Yeah, I can't see that Zadipu you're talking about. I can't see that Jesus Christ. But what did he do? When he came, he married you. They can talk. There's no marriage. There's no coming. There's no. They are very late. They're coming late. It's already happened. If they came before, you can maybe listen now. There's no need even to listen. That he has not come. I know he's come. He's taken over. He's married me. Me and him has become one. What are you talking about? You live just like any other person. That's all right. That's a mystery of it. That's how he hides it. You're a human being just like any other. But my body is quickened. When he came inside, he did not only marry me, but he quickened this mortal body. He quickened this mortal body. Praise be to God. That's why sometimes when you are quickened, when you're married, you feel like you're there are some things that, you know, we call it, what do you call that? What is that in English? Those people who know English in Kikuyu, Vivi. What is Vivi? You know, you go to touch something and I don't know what to touch it. Like fear kind of. No, I don't. Sin is there and your mortal body is quickened. It's quickened. And it's a body. It's a body. Just like a body. So you feel like, because you are just like anybody else, you go to touch sin and you feel like something is pulling you away from it. What is it? Your body is quickened and become heavenly. Though it's going to die and go to the dust, shall go to the dust. But it's so quickened that sin is not something that you can just go. Let me tell you, if you don't have any, there's something wrong with you. If you don't have any conscience that I cannot. There's some things you cannot even do. Your conscience, you disturb you so. You cannot get near them like that. I don't expect to see you people. Let me give you a story. I know I don't have time. There's this sister I was accused of is in Kenya, and they know her. They know her, Mama Mwangi, Sister Mwangi from the shop there, from the market. You know her. I think these people know her. I baptized him. You know, I just talked to them, and she got saved. When she got saved, she was a worldly woman. She was wearing this short clothes like this. And the worldly woman that I view worldly, she was like that. But she was still married, and she had this kind of clothes. Now, and it was bad because I remember her. She bought two dresses that were long. And buying a dress in Kenya is not easy. So she bought her dress, two dresses. And she came one time to church. That was her second time to come to church. And now we preached so much. We preached until 3 o'clock in the evening. And because we used to preach very many hours. And after preaching all that, he says, you're gonna baptize me. I said, no. And you know, we are going far. We are going like maiden, farther than maiden. We are going to maiden, farther than maiden. And then you come back here and go home, like the same distance, maybe bigger, maybe longer. I said, no, I'm going home. And she held her clothes like that. And she started crying. You cannot stop her. No. And the brothers got to me and said, you got to do it, brother. She was determined she must be baptized. So I went there. I went to the river and baptized her and came back. Now it was very late when we were coming from there. It's farther than maiden. Because it can take you about maybe an hour to walk, maybe more than an hour to walk. So now we are coming back. The husband is an unbeliever. So he gathered another guy. He got another guy. I think they are related. And they came with swords. They had swords. And they are coming to us. Because where is his wife? We are messing up with his wife. And the word had gone around that he had come to my church. Now he's looking for us. And we are walking. It was a group. And walking home and walking home. And we took her. We left her in the house. And we went back home. He was not there. I don't know how we missed. There was only one way. We don't know how we missed. He also wonders how we missed. Those days God used to do. I'm not saying God does not do miracles, but I don't know how those days was. I think we were careless. We were careless with life like that. He also don't know how did we miss, how he missed us. So we come home and I left her there. When we left her there, we went home. And home, I heard the following day, after maybe 2 days, I don't know. But I heard that she took all her clothes. She had only two dresses that she's wearing. She's wearing this, coming at night, washing it, and then making it warm, dry, and then the following day, she wears it, she comes, and that's how she was. She didn't have to go, but she can't wear the rest of her clothes. So the husband gets and says that, it's me, the pastor, who has told her not to wear all the clothes that she has bought for her. So she brought them, and she's going to burn them, and the furniture and things, she's going to burn it. She brought it in front here. And she called me. They called me. So that I can see that drama. I said, okay, sister. And sister cried. And later on she told me, I thought you'd start. Like, you know, I know you stand up. I thought you'd stand up. I said, you say it's me. I asked the husband, you say it's me who refuses her to wear these clothes that you bought her? She said, yes. I said, sister, just wear them. She looked at me, wear this? That you so much preach against? Now you're telling me to wear them? I said, just wear them, sister, if you can. Just wear them. And I left. So I don't want that drama. I don't want to be told it's me who is telling her not to wear. And she looked at me with eyes like that. Are you telling me that, sister? You cannot stand with me? And I said, I'm not going to. This is your husband. Okay. And so I left. The sister took the dress out. She went there and wore that skirt that is here. That's up to here. And she walked out. She walked out. She's going to work. She walked out. And she walked out. She walked out. She walked out. Before she could reach the road, the legs could not carry her. And the husband is looking. She went like that. She went like that. She went, she came back crying. Oh, I can't. Praise be to God. That man was sure it's not a makeup. That man was sure it's not Goomba. That man was sure it's something inside of her that she cannot do it. Our bodies are quickened. Are quickened. They are made alive. They don't have that. Something in them. They don't know. Can you imagine that? That you can wear that thing that I see the people like here, Sister Medicine here. Can you do? You can't. You can't. It would kill you. It would kill you. Why? This body is a body just like of them. What is it? This body has been quickened to something else. It's not a makeup. It's something that has happened. It's a happening that has happened. Okay. It was the coming of the Lord. Now, give me just a few minutes. Let me see this. I'm going to explain this very fast. You know what the Zadipu is now. The Zadipu is coming. Seventh seal was a seal. That was also is coming. What was the tenth vision? These are the same. All these things that you see there are the same. That is his coming. It's simply his coming. What's the tent vision? How many remembers the tent vision? It was a vision. He was in a tent, a very, very big tent. But in there, in the tent somewhere, and that was, I think, on because that's Branham Sebanako. He was on top. He was on top. He was put on top. So it was in this side. It was on this. It was in his left. Now, before him, there was a box, like a house box. Like it's a house that has a window, that has a door this side and a door on the other side. And Brother Boss was called, Brother Woods or something. They called him, they said, the line is ready, the line is ready. And the prophet was told, I'll meet you in there. and the people would get in. The people would get in. They had been given cards and things. And the prophet, when he was supposed to go start praying for them, but he was still told, I'll meet you in there in that box or somewhere. I don't know. But I'll meet you in there just like anybody else. And they would get in. Listen, they would get in that box and come out on the other on the other side of the box. And some of them did not have legs. Some of them were carrying their crutches with their own hands like that. Some of them had sticks, you know, sticks because they were bright. Now they are carrying, you know, there's a way you bring it together and put it in the pocket. They are now walking, say, I can see. And there was a woman there for a paper with a writing magazine or something, who writes, a journalist. And I was like, what happened to you? I don't know. I can't explain that. It's not something you can tell people. It's something inside me. God came and did it. I didn't need a prayer. I didn't need nothing. That's a sad fool. Why he got and the prophet does not need now to pray for you because he got on you. You can have faith and get healed. You can have faith and get healed. Whatever you want. He says, whatever you want. In the book called, what do you call that book? He says, why Christ speak? He says, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Do you want to kill? It's like somebody dead, you want him raised up? Go and raise him up. Whatever you want, go on and get it. You belong to that class. You belong to that league of having God came. You are a great person. You are a great. You are not just a simple person. You can create things. You can create your own world and go live it. You are so great. Go on and have it. Whatever it is. Why cry? Go on and have it. You are the wife of the king who has everything. Why are you crying that you want a bicycle? Why are you crying that you want a bicycle? You are a king who has cars and cars and cars and money and gold. And why are you crying for a bicycle? Go on and have your bicycle if you want to. Just go to Amazon, tell them, bring a bicycle here. The son of the king, he wants a bicycle. Outside the end, you bring it. Why cry? Oh, that's the tenth vision. I was talking about the tenth vision. I don't know. I was not talking about it. Okay, but that's not the tenth vision. What about Sabino Canyon? What about Sabino Canyon? Sabino Canyon is when that sword came. And it was the sword of the king. What's the sword? Is the word. Is the word. Is the king speaking. Is the ladders. What are the ladders? Is the voice of God. Is God talking. The sword is God talking. And the brother Branham, I've given you that in the second fool. So that when you hold it now, and this sword needs somebody who has, he said, a hairy chest. You know, a chest, a real man with biceps like that. When you hold it to the enemy, you know, you speak it. Speak the word. He said, that's Sabino Canyon. What is Matthew 24, 36? What is Matthew 24, 36? I'm calling all this, that the pool, second pool is coming. What is Matthew 24, 36? I put it there. What is Matthew 24, 36? What is that? Remember, that's when he said, he's answered the question. No man knows that is his coming. No man knows he's coming, but he's coming. No man knows. No man knows. But now, he's come. The Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Is there. It's completely revealed. He's here. Matthew, Revelation 10, you have read it. The Thessalonians 4 is, he will come down with a shout and a voice. He's coming down. It's the same thing. All this is now. The following, just a few quotes now. Just give me about 5 minutes and I'm not going to read everything. Or maybe I'm going to read, some of them are just titles and I'm just going to read them very fast. Without talking much. Let's finish it. Please. The first thing was, now this is, he's talking about the third pool. He's talking about his coming. When he came, let me use that word because I believe he came. When he came, before we could have said, when he comes. Now we can say, when he came. The first thing he wanted, that God wanted, was wanted to reveal himself to the people. The third pool was God coming to reveal himself to the people. To get in the people and reveal, and make the people know him. Secondly, to have preeminence. After revealing himself who he is, you have preeminence. What is preeminence? You become a prisoner to him. You become his wife. You become his wife. He will rule over you. You do what he wants. His body of believers. That is his bride. That he might live. Look here. But that he might live in his people. That is what he wanted. Verses that, remember, Christ is the mystery of God revealed as the daddy pool. He's preaching about the daddy pool. He's preaching about that he has come. It's the revelation of the secret that God had before the foundation of the world. That he said even angels don't know. Now, it's here. It's here now. He has come. What was he to come for? For the bride. How does he get into the, how does he get the bride? By marrying her. By you and him becoming one. That's exactly right. Secondly, to apprehend in his body, believers, that he is bride that he might be living in now. Revealing himself and having first to reveal himself in Christ. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. To reveal, he first of all, he did it in Christ. And then to bring that fullness, Godhead bodily, into people. What is it? This is what I'm saying. This is the daddy pool. Bring that Godhead bodily into you, into every one of us. Godhead bodily now lives in his church. Godhead bodily now lives, like Jesus Christ was lived here on earth, he now lives in you. All that Jesus did there, he can do it on you. He's in you now. You can do it what he did now. You and him have become one now. Okay, second, bring the fullness of Godhead bodily into a people, that he could have the preeminence, the oversight, the leading. Now he can have the leading. Now, paragraph 155 of the same book, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Second, to have preeminence, to get into you, you surrender all to him, he has preeminence. He rules over you, he leads you, he's all in all in you. By this in church, which is the body, I know that's not here. I'm just saying. By this in his church, which is his body, the bride, he could have the preeminence to express himself through them all. All right, he says, all right. Now, paragraph 240. The new birth is Christ. The new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that is the new birth. Do you get that? Is that point home? What is the new birth? What is this great mystery of the seventh seal, of the daddy pool, of his coming? This great mystery that was in his head, that he was asked, when do you come? He said, I don't know. Even the angels don't know. It's with the Father at the back of his mind. Now, this secret, when it's revealed, what is it? He's coming. When he comes and becomes one with you, that's the second birth. That's the second birth. That's a birth. Okay. When this daddy pool comes in you. Okay. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed this to you, this great mystery, and that's the new birth. That's when you're born again. Now, the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily now dwells in his church. The preeminence, all that God was, he poured into Christ. You know, that is the third pool. That is the third pool. Pouring him to you, pouring him into you. That's the third pool. Poured into Christ. And all Christ was poured into the church, the believers. Now, notice, God making himself known. Not we are not supposed to make converts to Christianity by government. I'm not going to explain that. That's very touching to me. But by the revelation, the Christ in you, as God was in Christ, Christ in you. When what God did in Christ, Christ does in you. What signs did God in Christ, Christ does in you. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh my, I like that. That is the radical getting to you. That's the radical getting to you. As Jesus was the word of God, he vindicated the same. Okay, number, paragraph 449. Very, very fast. Jesus said, at that day, that is his day. At that day, when this revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. When the revelation is made manifest, at that day, you shall know that I and the Father are one. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Then, when the revelation comes forth, then it's I in you. When Jesus comes down, when the seventh seal is revealed, it's now I in you, and you in me. There you are, see, the man, three months. What? To bring back, we've got to, as Jesus was the word of God, he vindicated the same. Now, that's good. This is the last good. And that day, to restore. After he has done all that, he restores the kingdom to its rightful position that fell by sin by the first Adam. Back to where he walked in the cool. He takes us back to where we can have fellowship with him. We become one. That's what the Tadipu does. We become one with him. Back to when he walked in the cool of the evening with his people. Talked with them. Fellowship with them. I know I've taken a bit of time, but I'm still, my heart is so, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Let me tell you, I'm preaching, let me say this. In simple terms, I'm preaching to myself. This is good. This is good to me. I'm preaching. If I'm not preaching to nobody, and I know I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to myself. This is good to me. This is very good to me. This is very good to me. It exactly puts everything where it belongs, and I love it. I love it so much. Thank you. Thank you, and God bless you. We don't have time, but let me just say a word of prayer, and then we close. I think I've taken all my time. I've taken much time now. I'm sorry. Let's pray. We sang that song, Lord, and we said how we love you. We said that, Father, you are the best. You are the best in our tongues when you sing about you, when you talk about you. And that is true. But Lord, there was that angel that came to John and told him to take the book. That book that was open, he was so, take it and eat it. And when he ate it, it was bitter in the stomach, but sweet in the mouth. Lord, when we sing, when we say how these things are, Lord God, to us, when we testify and see what God has done in this hour, Father, it's so good. But Lord, help us, even when we live this life, identifying you to the people, to this untold world, Lord, the world that, Lord, is against this, Father. The devil and all his armies are gathered from the four corners of the world, Lord, to come against you and your bride, Lord. But you also gathered all your armies from the four corners of heaven, Lord. And we are here in the battle of Armageddon, Lord God, is set on. But you know, Father, we are more than victors, Lord God. Father, we are here. You are our general of the war. Take each soldier here, Lord. Take their hearts, arm them, Lord, and make them stand. Give them strength, Lord. You are the only one who can do it. We talk of surrendering. We can't be able to surrender, Lord. You've got to do it for us. You've got to make us surrender, Lord. You've got to show us how to surrender. We surrender. We give ourselves to you so that you can make us, Lord God, what you would like us to be. Father, take our shortcomings. We so many, Lord. We live in this world that is full of sin, Lord. Take our shortcomings, Lord. Don't count it on us, Father, because you promise you won't. Take us to yourself, Father. We won't lay on your laps and be there. Father, there are some needs, Father. I know there are those needs, Lord. Meet the needs of the people. Don't let them cry anymore, Father. But give them whatsoever, Father, their prayers are, Lord. Show them your mercy. I know you don't have mercy on the world. You brought judgment to the world, Lord. There's no place for them. You gathered them together, Father. And then when they are gathered in the great society of churches, Lord, you getting ready, Father, that one of these days you burn them. But at the same time, Father, that was a time when you brought the rapture to your bride and brought us together, Father, as your bride to yourself, Father. You have mercy on your bride. You do. You didn't have come from heaven and died and did all these things that you did if you didn't have mercy, Lord. You do have mercy, Lord. And I believe, Father, that each one of us, Father, here is going to taste your mercies, Father, in meeting, Lord, in you meeting their needs. Answer the prayers of the people. Bless the people is my prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I think we can dismiss. I'm sorry I've done everything. Maybe some people could have helped me, but I think I took so much.